my town. Yeah, this is my town. My town. Welcome back to all, everybody listening. This is the First and Soul podcast. I'm Bogos, and I'm alongside my buddy Tracy Black. We love what we get to do on a weekly basis, traveling to all these high schools, meeting all these awesome men who are leading our next generation in youth coaching football. Man,
nothing like this. Coaches at Community Tour has been just awesome, and getting to know these coaches on a personal level, but also getting to understand how everybody's connected. The dots just all connect throughout each one of these coaches. And, you know, you take some legendary coaches that have been in the business for many years and all the young coaches that they've groomed that's went on and took head coaching jobs. I mean, it's great. It has been absolutely the best time ever. But one thing that I've really enjoyed is how all these teams came together a couple of weeks ago for our media days. 57 teams came across the today. We have traveled across the river here, and we're in Carver County, downtown Sheffield, Alabama, and we have the honor and privilege of sitting down with head coach Michael Parker of the Sheffield Bulldogs. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thank you, Grant. Glad to be here.
Well, I tell you, we were just talking about how you just mentioned, Tracy, the cool things that we've got to experience talking to all the coaches. Small little things to me, like when I walk into your office today, Coach Parker, and you're like, hey, Bo, you said you were from the Austin area? Hey, I know a guy named Mitchell Knox. And, you know, just how everybody knows everybody. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got an experience, shall I say, from all over North Alabama. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is. Coach, where did you go to high school and play football? And just take the listeners on a little journey with Coach Parker from high school all the way to sitting here as the head coach at Sheffield.
I graduated high school from Hatton High School in Lawrence County in 1989. Graduate. Well, I'm getting old. You know,
we all are, Coach.
And, you know, I had no intentions of going to college. I'm a socialite. I didn't want to study anymore. And I started work at Robbins Tire and Rubber Company right here in Sheffield. And Tuscumbia area, but anyway, I worked midnights there, and to make ends meet, my wife was in college, so to make ends meet, I would leave Robbins at 7 a.m., go home, change clothes, and meet my father-in-law on a job where he's building a house, bricklaying. So I told him brick about 3 o'clock, 3:30 every day, and then I go home, get a shower, heat something, get up at 9 o'clock and do it again, and be at Robbins at 11. So I did that for a little while, and finally one day was toting 12-inch block, and that sealed the deal.
Yeah, sure.
Told my father-in-law, I said, I won't be here tomorrow. He said, why? I said, I'm going to register for school. He said, it worked. So his whole plan was to work me to death so I could go to college.
So, that's a great plan. That's a great plan.
He's a great guy. He really is. But I went and signed up for school. I still worked with him when I wasn't in school. But I signed up and I told myself, I said, if I'm going to work the rest of my life, I'm going to enjoy what I'm doing. So I went part-time because my wife was full-time. So she graduated in 95, and at that time I'd made my way to Browns Ferry out of the labor local over here in Sheffield. So I made my way to Browns Ferry, done the labor local thing, and for 2 years. She graduated in 95, and I resigned in August of 95 and went to school full-time at Athens State. I graduated from Northwest Shoals, and I went to school full-time at Athens State. And in 97, I got my first head coaching job at Monrovia Middle School in Madison.
Okay.
So, you know, that was a different story there, too. So it was thrown together pretty quick. Started up the program. They had a program a long time ago, but I started back up in 97 and won two county championships there for 2 years. And I made my way back to Lawrence County head football coach speak for 3 years.
Okay.
And then made my way to pro racing was really bad back then, where, you know, they just let teachers go, you know, almost every year. So I've been a head coach speak and at Phil Campbell for 1 year, and then made my way to Double Spring Winston County High School in 2012. And worked for West Tidwell there for 6 years as offense coordinator. I say I worked with Winston County. I worked under him for 4 years, and I taught up there for 2 years. I worked under Denton Bowling at Hatton as far as coaching for 2 years.
Okay.
So I took the Clements job in 2018 and worked all the way up until 2023, I think, 6 years. So I came here in April of 23 to help Coach Wright.
Okay.
And here I run the weight and strength conditioning program, and was his offense coordinator last year after week three, and took over in June. He resigned in June, so I took over in June, middle of June, and it's been a whirlwind since.
Man, I could imagine taking over a program as the HC in June.
Right.
And here we are 2 weeks away from the first Friday Night Lights coming on.
Right.
That is a whirlwind. Hey, you mentioned Speak. Were you there when Speak made it down to the playoffs?
I was not. That was in 2008.
That was 2008. Okay.
Yeah. That was the last year Speak was a school. That
okay.
Shut down.
That yeah, that's down. Right. That's right. Yeah, I had several cousins that went to Speak.
Oh, did you?
And I don't know if you knew any of the Jelms. H-J-E-L-M.
I know that name's out there, but I don't think yeah. I know any of them.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. The journey from Madison all over North Alabama. Man, you've got a lot of different people that you've been able to take a little bit of this from.
Oh, yeah.
Probably shouldn't do this.
I've had a lot of great mentors, you know, to look up to. I still call them today. I mean, you know, Tim Gillespie, I volunteered for him at Lawrence County High School when he was there while I was going to college, and I still call him today, you know, ask him, you know, anything I need to ask him. He'll answer anything I got going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, Coach Huffstetler just come in. Y'all heard him. He's been great, too. I mean, you know, he's an old head like me, but it's great to bounce stuff off of him. Coach Wright, I still call Coach Wright and talk to him and bounce stuff off of him. It's, you know, you think you can do it all, but you can't. I mean, you got to have some help along the way, and I'm not too prideful to call and ask for help.
Yeah, you know, you always hear just in parenting and anything that you do, it takes a village.
It does. It does.
You know, and I could imagine as a head coach of a program,
right,
it takes a village in order to move the ship in the direction you need it to move.
And I've been in situations, you know, where it's just been me and some volunteers, where we weren't able to hire coaches on the staff. You know, I'm not throwing off on Clements, but it was hard to hire coaches on staff. We didn't have positions.
Great
yeah. school to work at, so people ain't leaving. You know,
yeah.
they'd retire from coaching and they wouldn't leave. So it was a tribute to them being a good school. And here, I've been able to hire a few, and because of my past and how I've had to operate, I find it hard to delegate. So yeah. I'm getting better at that. So I told my wife the other night, I said, "That's pretty good being able to delegate a little bit."
Yeah. I don't have to do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the coolest things about that story that got him here today is the Blue Collar Foundation.
Yes.
And that lesson about the carrying the concrete blocks reminds me of, there's a brick mason over in Lauderdale County up in the Green Hill community, Tony Hamback. Sounds exactly like something that he would do to get his message across. But Coach, that was an outstanding story, and just a great job by you and the dedication to stick with it.
Yeah.
and to get you where you're at today. And another thing that's really cool is, in 2019, which was our very first year to do a Player of the Week banquet, Coach Parker had a player at Clement that was a finalist. Gilbert kid.
Yeah. No, it was a prior
kid. Prior. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he was a phenomenal running back. And so, what take us through that experience that you did on our first banquet. So outside of Basin, who's been to a couple banquets, Coach Parker has the experience with First and Sold and understands kind of what we do. Tell us a little bit, what was that experience like that year when we honored those players?
First of all, I want to say this. First and Sold is a class act. I mean, y'all are a class act. And everything that y'all do is class.
Man, I appreciate that.
Man, that means a lot, Coach.
That banquet was, I mean, it was phenomenal. It was set up perfect, and the kids really, really loved it. All those kids that came, I think we were 5 finals. Mm-hmm. And now I think it was a packed house. Yep. I mean, it was phenomenal, and to get to honor a kid like that. I mean, I love that kid so much. He's on my staff right now.
Oh, that's awesome!
Is that the first and Sold?
Yeah, it was the first banquet. He was one of the finalists that came to the banquet. Ended up DeAndre Goodlow at Deschler was won the overall player of the year. But we had prior there, we had the kid
Seth Brown.
The Brown kid from Lauderdale County. And then we had Kobe Warden, who played receiver at UNA for 4 years, was there. It was a great banquet. Carl Prather came.
I'm asking, is that the first and Sold recipient that is a coach? Is he the first?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, as far as one of the finalists, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now, okay. Deschler won the overall player of the year. But yeah, we didn't do classifications back then. We just let the fans vote, and we brought the top 5 vote getters there.
Well, he was just saying that player that we recognized is on his staff now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I was asking.
Yeah, he was a finalist, absolutely.
Is that one of our first players who is now a coach?
Yep, one of the first ones, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
If I knew he's on your staff, I'd have got him beard. I'm sure he's in the classroom.
He's
did he play ball in college? Did he go anywhere?
He went to Mississippi College.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, his size sort of got him a little bit as far as, you know, getting anything bigger, but, you know, Jai Reese don't work, so it doesn't matter. He wanted to experience that, so he went and played Mississippi College.
Dude, he was so good.
I remember that name. I do remember that name.
He was just he's a phenomenal kid and works his tail off for me right now. I mean, I brought him in last month, probably toward the end of last month, and fell right in. Teachers over there are really bragging on him, doing a good job with him. So, he's just phenomenal. His whole family, man. His dad volunteered for me at Clements, and he's one of my best friends.
That's cool.
I can call him.
You know, when you were telling your story that Tracy was just alluding to, as far as how you got to where you're at, Toby Blocks and the blue collar map. You know, what I love about the story is, man, I had to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do what I had to do while my wife was in college, because we were thinking about the future. Okay? She finishes. I don't know too many people who get a job at Browns Ferry, being where we're all from,
mm-hmm.
who decide, I'm out. I'm going to get my education because I've got a goal in mind. And just to see the sacrifices, the time, the effort, that blue-collar mentality that you don't really see a lot of in today's society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of society, Coach, my question is, what's the difference that you've seen from today's era versus when you first started getting into coaching?
I think, I told my team the other day, I think our biggest problem as a, I don't want to say country, in this era, like you're talking about, is accountability. You know, we don't hold people accountable. We take, I told my kids the other day, we're in a bad habit of, and I see it everywhere, where if somebody's not doing their job, instead of saying, hey, get your job done, I'm going to find somebody who can. We don't do that anymore. We take the responsibility off of them and put it on somebody that we know will do the job and add to theirs. And that's the stuff that I'm teaching these kids on a daily. I'm going to hold you accountable. We're going to check your grades. And if you don't do things right out here, you're going to be held accountable. You know, I've got a no cussing policy out here on the field.
Yeah.
You know, I don't harp on it, but if I hear it, you're going to do up downs.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit there and count them. I'm going to tell you, give me 10 up downs, 15 up downs, and you're going to get them. or you're not going to practice anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and this is no issue. I tell them to get them, they get them, and I carry on. I'm not going to sit there and harp on it. I know how much time I've got with these kids today. I don't know what they go home to. So, you know, I've got to do my job and feel good about me when I leave.
That's right.
And feel good that I'm raising these kids to be good young men, good citizens, and maybe good fathers and husbands one day. So that's my main goal. But I think to answer your question is accountability. I mean, I know when I went to school, and y'all probably went to school, missing practice wasn't an option. I mean, and if I did, my parents wouldn't know, why weren't you at practice? Where were you being?
Yeah. Where you been?
Then go home.
Didn't have Life 360
right.
To see where you was at.
So I think just that part is just being held accountable for your commitment that you make. Now it's more, I think, parents give them reasons to miss or are okay with them. You know, I get doctor's business and stuff like that, but this missing because I need a haircut. Yeah, barbers are open on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
You know, and that's the thing that I see now that we have to deal with that we didn't have to do when I first started. Missing practice just wasn't an option. You was committed, and that's you honored your commitment.
Yeah, you know, a lot of these barbershops, you have to make an appointment. But Johnny B's, just walk in.
Yeah.
Walk on in. Coach, you know, when you look back historically, and a lot of people listening may not realize this, but let's go way back in the day. So, Florence High School used to be Coffee and Bradshaw.
Right.
And Coffee and Sheffield was a historic rivalry. They used to play on Thanksgiving Day at like 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and everybody would get dressed up. They would eat Thanksgiving dinner and they'd go watch the ball game.
Really?
I mean, it was a big time event. And when you reflect back on you know, just in the 80s, Sheffield was a 4A school. Like Sheffield, Dashner, Muscle Shoals, Brooks, all these schools were all 4A. And then now, we're 2A. As you transition over the years, what do you think has affected those numbers to where, like Muscle Shoals is a 6A, Dashner's still 4A, but Sheffield's a 2A. Do you think it's just like people moved out, the jobs? What do you think is the contributing factor to that?
I think some stuff that I've experienced here just this year, you know, the grass looks a little greener on the other side sometimes. And instead of staying where you're at and fighting as a parent, telling your kid, we're not going anywhere. You want to win? Get better here. You know, do what it takes to get better here. Okay, that grass is over there. It may be greener, and it may have a little bit more sweat in it. It may have a little bit more blood and sweat in that grass. That may be the reason it's greener. You know, what's wrong with you staying here and working? So I think that's people are up to move because they look and see grass is greener.
They see shiny objects. Right. They right. see, yeah.
You know,
that's well said.
Here's the thing, and it's the competitiveness is not just on the field anymore. It's facilities.
Yeah.
Everywhere around us, everywhere around Sheffield has turf fields, has jumbotrons. We don't. Now, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. Dr. Nelson's already, you know, he's already told me we're getting it, but we're behind.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not blaming anybody for that. That's just part of it. It's eye candy. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So once you get that caught up with everybody else, it's going to be new and fresh. And I promise you, you'll get some transfers in here.
Yeah,
100%. Because of that competitiveness in the facilities.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily on the field anymore. It's just eye candy, and people buy into that.
Yeah.
And that's my philosophy on things.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, 1 second. All right, so just, you know, people that know high school football and they understand high school football, especially North Alabama football, in my opinion, I think Coach would agree. Sheffield was a standard at one time. They were very successful year in, year out. Just people did not want to come to Sheffield and play football. But when Sheffield, just like Muscle Shoals and Deschler and all these other schools, Colbert County, when they're good, football's better.
That's right. That's a great, great, great way to say that. You know, when he was telling us that the difference, you know, is grass always looks greener, I immediately thought of the 90s NBA.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. The Jordans, the Charles Barkleys, you know, they just didn't go, hey, man, y'all want to get together and go to this team?
Right.
And let's go win a championship. You know what they did? They got better. They stayed.
Yeah.
And it was blood, sweat. I mean, the games were over and they were bleeding and it was just different.
They were out to beat Jordan instead of join Jordan.
100%.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. I totally agree. That's got to be a big difference.
It is. I mean, it really is.
But what I loved about that is I'm going to use that phrase when I'm talking to other realtors at Marmac Real Estate is, hey, it may look like grass is greener on the other side, but that might be because there's more blood, sweat, and tears in that grass than what you've done. Because if it is greener over there, guess what? When you get over there, if you don't continue to water your grass,
right,
your grass will turn brown over there too. You know,
100%. Yeah, and to feed off of that, we've talked about this with several coaches. When you look at high school football right now, it's really one of the last pure sports where it's not controlled by money in some aspects. But I keep hearing bad stories from like Birmingham and Montgomery and Atlanta, where they've got boosters and stuff that are just throwing this silly money at these players to get them to come here and play here. What, in your opinion, what can we do to try to protect high school football from becoming like college?
I don't know that we can go back.
To keep it real.
Yeah. I don't know, as a society, I don't know that we can go back.
Yeah.
And you got kids that's playing right now, fixing play on Friday nights, that's already guaranteed next August they're going to make $30,000 a month. I mean,
yeah. How do you compete with it?
Yeah, they don't. And I realize, you know, playing college football, playing in college sports, is a job. I get that.
Yeah,
but $30,000 a month for an 18-year-old.
Yeah, that's not healthy, man.
It's not. And I am a football guy, you know, but I think we have gone way too far. Yeah. In that aspect, it's gotten to where it's not going to be fun for those college athletes for long. It's going to be like a job.
Yeah. And Coach, you seem like a guy that loves to put that marker in your hand and stand in front of a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Is that something you love to do?
I do. I mean, when you get a defensive guy and an offensive guy in there, you know, the last one holding the marker's going to win. So. I love the chess match. I love, you know, seeing how I can beat the defenses. And me and Coach Lou, we go out here and go at it every day. He's coming after me to try to stop my offense. I'm coming after him to try to score on his defense, you know, with scout teams. So, you know, it's a competitiveness there. And we're just trying to manipulate each other. So,
yeah. Coach, I know you just got named in June, taking over Coach Wright. How's the summer been?
It's been really, really good. You know, I mentioned a while ago that I lost a couple of kids, but I lost a lot of drama too.
Yeah.
So, you know, this locker room has been nothing more than I could ask for. Throughout the whole summer, throughout fall camp, it's been great. These kids are really bought in. They're starting to like each other. They start like hanging around with each other. It's getting better.
Awesome.
It really is. You know, and that all started with Coach Wright. You know, hey, Coach Wright, he's done a phenomenal job, and he loves Sheffield.
Yeah,
and he's a great guy, and he loves these football players. And hey, I hadn't cut this football field yet. He's cut it every time.
Now that's cool.
He's cut it every time. Now he said, Coach, I want to help you. I want to stay involved. And he said, let me take care of that field. I said, Coach, you don't have to do that. He said, I want to. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So
it's one last thing you got to worry about.
Yeah, I'm like I said, you know, that John Deere real mower out there, I don't even know how to operate it. He said, I'll show you one day, and he ain't done it. He's still cutting that field for me. So
that's cool.
He's a phenomenal guy and really wants to see these kids succeed.
Coach, when you look at your region, Class 3A, Region 7, and it is a tough region. I mean, not only do you have teams like Rogers and Colbert Heights and Lauderdale County and Colbert County, but you got the Marcell Panthers in there as well. And everybody knows Marcell throughout the entire state. When you look back over the last few years, 2022 finished 5-5, 23, 3-7, last year 5-5. Are there some goals that this team is trying to achieve this season that they're trying to, hey, let's reach this plateau?
They want to make the playoffs, you know, and we understand that the region's tough, but you know, we're pretty athletic, and if we can get things going in the right direction and gel at the right time, we'll be fine. That's their number one goal, to make a playoff. We'll be the first team in a while to make it. And, you know, I, in all honesty, I think we can do it. I think we can make it, you know, just by watching their work ethic this summer and how they coming together. I have the faith in them that they can make it.
What do you think in the last seven games you played last year, you won five of those seven.
Right. Yeah.
So you continue in that same direction like you did in the last seven games, Coach.
Yeah. Which, you know,
you're on to something.
Against Colbert County, I don't even remember the score of the Colbert County game.
42-21.
42-21. We gave a kickoff return and a pick six. You're talking about a 7-point game.
Wow.
We don't give that up. Yeah, our kids played. We played hard. We just made mistakes.
Yeah.
So we played with them. So, you know, you take that game and a few things go the different direction, you know, we're there.
That's right. That's right.
So, well, you think about that. So the first three games, and we talked about this off there, and there was some adjustment to the offense after week three. I mean, Sheffield puts up 47, 47, 39, 20. Then they put up 45, 21, and 67. Is that right? Am I reading that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a 35-point average per game for the last seven.
I'm going to call that the Bulldog run right there. That's a Bulldog run. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
They had fun after that, you know, after the Mars Hill game. They had a little fun.
Did the quarterback off this team last year, I see Brian Dahl, which came to our media day, did he start last year or is this going to be?
He did. He's been starting since the ninth grade.
That's awesome.
But, you know, in his defense, he's had three head coaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
One, two, three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three head coaches.
So it seems like he's flourished in your offense.
He has. Yeah, he loves to throw the football. He loves it. So,
that's awesome.
You know, I said, man, you got to take what they give you because he loves the deep ball.
Yeah.
Always tell him chicks love the deep ball, don't they?
Yeah.
Because he'll throw it deep in a minute.
Coach, I'm going to ask you a question. If I asked you to define football and what's it mean to you, what would your answer be?
Football to me has changed my definition of football has changed over the years, because football used to be, hey, it's football, let's have fun, you know.
Yeah.
Now I see it as a tool to mold young men into becoming, like I said a while ago, great citizens. I mean, we all played sports probably, and you look back, and those kids that played sports, the majority of them have pretty good jobs. They have pretty good family life. You know, I would think over 60-70% are good people, good citizens, and it may be higher. So, looking back, as I've gotten older, I see it as a tool that I get to use, to coach these young men, because my coaching, the X's and O's and X's and O's and Jimmy's Joe's and Jimmy's Joe's, you know, but the other stuff that I get to do with them, discipline, making them act right, staying on, you know, holding them accountable. Stuff that they're going to have to do later on in life. One day, they're going to have to walk in and clock in and do a job. And one day, they ain't going to want to go. But I'm hoping that this one they got under me will serve them, you know, okay, I don't feel like going to work. Some of us don't ever. Sometimes we don't feel like going to work. You got to get up and go. You got a family. You know, you got to support your family.
Yeah.
You got to feed your family. So football to me is my tool that I get to use to mold young men into good citizens.
So you think about football when you play helped create that story we talked about earlier about working midnights. And then going and toting 12-inch block.
Right.
You didn't want to do that.
No.
Surely you want to go home, get in the bed, take a nice hot shower, and get some good rest. And you don't want to do that.
No.
But the discipline and the accountability.
Right.
You like that word, accountability.
Yeah.
He likes accountability. Molded you.
Right.
Into doing the type of guy that you are today.
And you know, and I learned that from my coach. I learned that from my father-in-law. If I was going to work with him, I better be at work. You know, because if I didn't go to work, I'd have to answer to him and my wife.
And that story, too, and you talked about molding young men. I think it's very important, and we've alluded a little bit to what these kids have to face on a daily basis in our society now, and some of the madness and chaotic stuff that's out there. This football gives these guys an opportunity to make an impact on these kids' life, to where they're going to be successful husbands, successful fathers, workplace success, contributing to the community. All those aspects revolve around the hard lessons that they're going to face in football.
And you know what I like about it? Those things you're talking about that are chaotic and things in our society that they have to be involved in. When you walk into a locker room or you walk onto a practice field, the social medias, the things that you're talking about that makes it chaotic, they're not there.
That's right.
They are not there. Mm-hmm. It's back under the cinder block walls to where it matters. Everything we do matters.
Right.
All the stuff that you're getting from your phones, your iPads, computers, however you're getting it, really don't matter. And in today's world, you don't even know if it's real.
Right.
You have no idea if that's even real.
That's right.
Well, guess what? When you walk through these doors as a football player, it's real.
Amen.
He's really fixing to hit you, and I'm really fixing to get on you to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
It's real.
You know, and I commend the state, you know, they took away the phones in schools.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we thought that would be a devastating blow. It really hasn't, you know. We take them up we give them yonder pouches to put your phone in, and it locks. And the only ones that can lock it is teachers and admin administrators. So I've got a cart that I roll up there every morning, and when they put their phone in that yonder pouch and it locks, they put it right there in that cart. And okay. I roll it through the field house. They don't see it again until 3:00.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yesterday at 3:05, I had to call them and tell them to come here and get their phone.
Great.
They hadn't even talked about it. They hadn't discussed coming here. They hadn't asked me for them.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, you know, that helps out a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I
think it's got to.
Yeah.
I mean, you go, guess what? When you're at lunch table, you got to talk. You got to communicate.
Yeah,
you got to talk about
sit down on your phone.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I heard yesterday this happened at practice, or hey, I heard this happened in the library.
Yeah.
You got to communicate just like you did when we were growing up.
100%. Yeah, I see some people crying and whining about it, saying, well, what if we need to get a hold of a kid? Well, hey, we all went to school. There wasn't no cell phones. You call the front office.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not like they're on the island.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Instead of sitting there on their phones in the cafeteria quiet. Everybody's just on their phones with it. Man, I think it's a great move. Thank you to the state of Alabama for doing that. I told you, I'm with you on that, Coach Parker.
Coach, let me ask you this. And you've had tons and tons of experience. You've had coaching positions at multiple schools, multiple communities, and a lot of influence in your life. If there was a previous player or a young kid that came to you and just reached out and said, "Coach, I love football, I love high school football, I think I want to coach, I think I want to do this as a career," what would be some of the words of advice you'd give that young man?
Make sure you love it. Make sure you love it, because there's not a whole lot of money in it. You know, if you want to work and enjoy what you do, make sure that you love what you're going to do, what you're going into. And that was, like I told y'all at the beginning, I had no intentions of going to school until I started toting 12-inch block. So, you know, there's a lot of times they get out and they see that dollar, and they're making $17, $18 an hour as an 18-year-old. But, you know, when you get 30 and you got kids to raise, that $18 an hour don't go very far.
That's right.
And that job that they had making that, I really had to give them a whole lot of raise. So, you know, think long term. Think long term. Is it going to be consistent? Yeah. So that would be my thing, and make sure that you are capable of dealing with a different kid every day. Because I have kids that come in here that have money. I have kids come in here and don't have a dime. I have kids come in here, they're spoiled rotten. I have kids come in here and don't have a daddy. I mean, you have a different kid every day. Coach Bryant, Barry Bryant said, you can't treat them all the same. And that's right, because they're not all the same. You know, I tell kids, the coaches every now and then, you know, everybody don't have a Jordan Parker. Now, with my son, there's not a whole lot of Jordan Parkers out there anymore, where he has mom, dad, family to support him. Now, you know, I have players that are staying with their mom. They hardly ever see their mom because she's pulling a double shift to make things happen. And they don't have a dad in their life. So I try to fill that role for 3 or 4 hours a day. And it's tough. It's tough because you got to get a relationship with them. And if you don't have that relationship, they're not going to listen to you. So that's the thing that I start out every job that I've ever had. And build a relationship. And I, every one of those kids in that locker room right now, every one of them know I love them and I'll do anything for them, but they're going to act right and they're going to do the right things. And, you know, I told them the other day, I don't have a bunch of rules I'm going to lay out there for you, but I do have a standard, you know, and we're going to stay at that standard there or rise above it, but we're not going backwards. We're going to raise to the standard. So, you know, and if I told them, if I do have one rule, it's do right. Everybody's capable of understanding what right and wrong is. Yeah. Do right.
So, do right.
Now, Coach Lou Holtz had a book out. Do right.
That's right.
Just do right.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I read it, and I've stuck by it in every job I've ever had. You know, I tell kids to do right. Because they know. They know. They're not dumb.
Yeah.
They know what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
But we give them, we have given them in the past too much leeway to talk back or make their own decisions. You know, and they're kids. They're kids for a reason.
That's right.
We're leaders for a reason.
Leader.
So they don't have a whole lot of say-so in what they do here, but I do take care of them. Just like those phones right there. They don't have a temptation because they're in the field house all day.
Sure.
They don't have a temptation to get your phone out because they're with me all day.
I can tell you one thing. The Sheffield community should be very happy and proud because they got a man that's leading their kids the right way.
And I hope everybody in the Sheffield community tunes in and listens. You know, because unfortunately, a lot of people in the Sheffield community only see you when you're standing on the sidelines.
Yeah.
They don't get to know the person Tracy and I know.
Right. You know, and let me say this about Shepard. There's a lot of pride here.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. There's a lot of old pride that want to see things done the right way. And I've gotten a lot of comments, great comments, from people like that. And then there's some here that have never experienced that side of things. The old pride. Some of them have never, the younger patient generation yeah. hasn't experienced that pride that the old Sheffield used to have.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm from Hatton. We never played Sheffield. They were 4A then, we were 2A. We never played them, but I always heard about Sheffield when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you always heard about them because they were pretty good.
Yeah.
We can get that back. We can get it back. But it's going to take, like I said, hard work and dedication and holding kids accountable.
I listen to sports radio every morning, and I'll be transparent. I listen to the Mike and Cube show, which is Cole Kublik yeah. and Greg McElroy.
Right.
And they made a great point this morning on my drive here. If you look back last year, all the big-time powerhouse programs who had a first-year head coach, Bama was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan was the other, and Washington. All three of them, well, Washington played for the national championship. Michigan won the national championship. Bama, of course, has always been Bama after. And then you can go all the way back to 2007 when Nick Saban was first year at Bama. Look at those years. People want to go, oh, man, the program's not where it used to be, or Washington's fallen. Well, go back and look. Every one of those, the first year, y'all, it's hard for things to get rolling. You don't look at a program or a coach or anybody doing their first year.
Right.
You take that first year and then they build on it. And now, do you think people look at Saban and define his career on 2007?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
No.
You think that the Washington Huskies defined DeBoer? You know, for his first year there, absolutely not. Michigan last year they started 6-5. I mean,
yeah.
And they were reigning national champions.
Yep.
So,
I promise you, every athletic director that hired those coaches are old school.
Yeah, they know.
Mal Moore knew.
Yeah, that's right.
These days, with Nick Saban's record at Alabama, first year. He might have been on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah.
These days.
Yeah.
But Mal Moore wasn't putting him on the hot seat. He knew what he had.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're so quick to jump. And that's what I hate. You know, I'm a Bama fan, but I hate Auburn is always putting their coach on the hot seat
mm-hmm.
instead of, I mean, I like Hugh Freeze. I do. I know he messed up like all of us have.
Mm-hmm.
He paid for a sin, you know.
Yeah.
He's a good football coach.
Yeah.
But the last year, they talked about him being on a hot seat. I mean, he's established. He knows what he's doing.
Give him some time.
Instead of owing all your other coaches $100 million that you let go.
Yeah, that's right.
Stick with one and let him build a program.
Yeah.
So,
I look forward to Coach seeing the standard that is raised, and that is the Sheffield standard that you are installing.
You know what? I do too. I look forward to the day that I walk out there and say, we changed.
Yeah.
And we're close. We are close.
Yeah.
I told him yesterday, you know, we had some bickering out there yesterday. I said, guys, you are this close, and you take a step backwards. Okay. We can't afford to take backward steps. We got to go forward. And I said, just letting you know, man, I'm not putting up with it. I'm not putting up with it. You can get up and talk smack to each other all day. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. Let him know you coming after him. Let him know you're going to beat him. But don't bicker like cheerleaders. You know, we're not cheerleaders. They have practice in the facility. Go practice with them. We're not going to bicker and argue out
here. That's right.
Over silly stuff. Not me. Yeah. You know. So I like the spirit of competition, but arguing and bickering, and we're not going to do it. So, you know, we took a step. Now, we had a good day up to that point. Yeah. So it wasn't a complete wash.
Yeah.
It was just a period
a learning of time experience.
There. A period of time there where it was a learning experience. You're right.
Yeah.
I sit here listening to Coach Partner talk, and I'm looking over the top of his desk on the wall there. There's a Vince Lombardi saying, and it says, winning is a habit, unfortunately, so is losing. And so powerful of what he described as setting the standard. So strong. Coach, we sure thank you for taking the time. I know you're very busy for talking with us today. And I'm sitting here, it's running through my head. I'm like, why did I call Pryor Gilbert? Well, 2 years ago, I was at Clements giving Gilbert the running back they had then, the player of the week. So that's the first time I said, you can tell Mr. Pryor, I'm sorry.
They were about two of the same now.
Yeah, they were both good.
They were both really, really good players. Gilbert now is playing at Lindsey Wilson College.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a great kid, too. It takes me the other day when we give him money for a fundraiser.
Great. I love it. I appreciate the kind words you said about First and So, and I appreciate the support that you've always given us at First and So. And I feel like we're probably going to be over here a lot this year giving out some Player of the Week.
I hope so. I really do.
Well, I can tell you that you seem like a genuine good dude, and I hope that Sheffield understands who they got sitting in his office.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate the kind words. And, you know, this is all I ever know. It's all I do. It's all I know.
Yeah.
You know, I can't sit back and not work.
But I do know one thing.
What's that?
You do not want to tote 12-inch blocks.
No. He ain't toting blocks today.
Too old to do that.
Best of luck this season, Coach.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you for tuning in. That's Sheffield's head coach, Coach Michael Parker. We'll be back next time. My town. My town. Yeah, this is my town.